Hey, Prime members, you can listen to The Vanished ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today.
I want to find my daughter. It's been going on, it'll be 3 years soon. In the next couple months, if we don't find her, it's going to be 3 years. We're missing out on a lot. She's missed out on a lot. She would never miss that baby being grown up. He's going to be 3 soon in November. She would have never missed out on his life. If anything, that baby being born, she would move back home. Not just to disappear on her own. I never thought she disappeared on her own. Never.
I want the truth to be known. I want James to speak up and say something. Even if he doesn't go to the cops or whatever, at the very least, talk to Lisa. She deserves to know what happened, or if he knows anything. She deserves some closure. The truth always comes out. But I mean, for me, like, the number one suspect for me has always been James, just because of the things that, like, you have to keep in mind, like, of the things that were taken from her luggage that was found. Why would you take a high school diploma? What purpose does that serve for you? Like, why not take cash or something like that? Something valuable. And that to me is strange, because diploma, that would seem like a trophy to me. Maybe I'm overanalyzing, but that's something you take as a trophy.
On December 1st, 2015, Caitlin Michelle Akins flew across the country from her home in Arizona to visit her family in Virginia. She had been eagerly anticipating the arrival of her nephew and wanted to see him as soon as he was born. 4 days later, on December 5th, 2015, 19-year-old Caitlin was supposed to fly back home to Arizona, but she never boarded her flight. A few days after she disappeared, her luggage was found on the side of a Virginia highway with her wallet, identification, cash, and plane ticket. But there was no sign of Caitlin. On the afternoon of her disappearance, Caitlin's mom and her fiancé back in Arizona both received several strange text messages from Caitlin's phone. But they don't believe those messages actually came from Caitlin. The last person to see Caitlin was her former stepfather, James. He says that he last saw Caitlin when he dropped her off at a mall several hours before her flight. But James has refused to take a polygraph, and law enforcement has struggled to break the encryption on his phone. Nearly 3 years have passed since Caitlin's disappearance, and her family is still searching for answers. I'm Marissa, and from Wondery, this is episode 148 of The Vanished, Caitlin Akins' story. Audible offers thousands of popular favorites, exclusive new series, guided wellness programs, comedy, and exciting new voices in audio. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog. The Audible app makes it easy to listen anytime, anywhere, while traveling, working out, walking, doing chores, you decide. I like to listen a little bit each evening while I'm cooking dinner, and it's great for my evening walks too. Recently, I've been listening to Lay Them to Rest by Laura Norton. It's a fantastic audiobook. You don't want to miss it. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/MIA or text MIA to 500-500. That's audible.com/MIA or text MIA to 500-500. 19-year-old Caitlin Akins had been visiting her family in Virginia at the beginning of December 2015. She had made the trip specifically to see her newborn nephew. She also needed to get her high school diploma from her mom's house. Caitlin always liked experimenting with different hairstyles, which you can tell from the various photos of her. She always had a different hairstyle or hair color. She had decided that this was something she wanted to pursue as a career, and was excited to start cosmetology school back home in Arizona, where she lived with her fiancé. She just needed to get that diploma that she had left back at her mom's house in Virginia. Caitlin had met her fiancé, Amber, years earlier when the two were going to school in Virginia. Amber's family moved across the country to Arizona, but the two remained close. After finishing high school early, Caitlin relocated to Arizona to be with Amber after she turned 18. On the day she was supposed to fly back to Arizona, Caitlin's mom, Lisa, couldn't take her to the airport herself because she had to work, so she arranged for her former husband, James, to take Caitlin to the airport. Caitlin never made it to her flight, and she hasn't been seen since Lisa dropped her off at James's house. Lisa told us about Caitlin's trip back to Virginia.
She was having a nephew. She was like, well, as soon as Gabby has the baby, let me know, and I want to come up there and visit so I can see the baby. So Gabby had the baby on November 21st, so I let her know. And I called and let her know. So I went online and made her a plane ticket. And she told me what day was good for her. So she came down here on December 1st. We went and picked her up, me and my sister, and my sister's husband, Joseph, went and picked her up from D.C. airport. Picked her up that night on December 1st and brought her back. She was so excited to meet the baby. When she came, we stayed at my sister's house for a little bit so she can visit everybody. And then we went home because it was so late. We just went to bed. And I still had to work the next couple days. So we just visited around, and she visited some friends while she was here. She played with the baby. She visited her sister and my sister, which is Caitlin's aunt. And she just hung out with people.
Along with speaking to Caitlin's mom, Lisa, we also spoke to her aunt Pamela for this episode. We wanted to know what Caitlin's personality was like and who she was as a person. Lisa and Pamela both shared that Caitlin was incredibly smart. She had graduated from high school 2 years early, and that she was also very strong-willed. Lisa said that Caitlin was very much like her.
Caitlin is exactly like I am. She doesn't like confrontation. She doesn't like fighting. And she would do her best just to resolve the situation for everything to stop. She doesn't like it. She doesn't like the razor blade. She doesn't like the yell. She's just like I am. She doesn't like any of that. She likes to have peace. She likes to have quietness. She likes to everybody just to get along. She used to text us all the time. Me and my sister and Gabby, Caitlin's sister, she would text us all day long. Text us and call her. She was walking down the street in Arizona going to go do something. She'd call one of us.
Caitlin's aunt Pamela also talked about Caitlin's life and personality. She described Caitlin as a smart young woman who was very strong and would stand up for herself.
Caitlin is a very smart person. She graduated high school when she was 16. Very strong-willed.
At the time of her disappearance, Caitlin was just 19 years old. We were all teenagers once, and we know that they don't share their entire lives with their parents. I thought it would be important to get the perspective of Caitlin's personality from one of her peers. So we spoke to one of her closest friends, Kevin. He told us what his friendship with Caitlin was like.
We became friends like the instant we met each other. Like, I hadn't seen her for like years because we went to school together when we were younger, but she moved away. And then when she came back, we went to the same high school, and I ended up recognizing her in the lunchroom. And we just kind of hit it off from there and kept in contact throughout the years. Our friendship was almost like a mind reading kind of thing. Like, we always knew what the other person was thinking. And we were always just there for each other. We told each other everything. There was nothing I didn't know about her, and there's nothing she didn't know about me. I like to say that she was kind of bubbly, but not like in the absent-minded way. She was very bubbly, as in like she was happy. Like, when she had people, she was comfortable being around. She was very smart. She's very kind too. She liked to try and help people and make people happy, and she's wildly intelligent. I mean, she graduated school super early, and she was one of a kind. It's like trying to describe like what water tastes like.
On December 5th, Caitlin was due to fly back to Arizona. Her flight was scheduled to leave Reagan National Airport at 5:40 p.m. Lisa had to work that day, so she arranged to have her ex-husband James drive Caitlin to the airport. Lisa dropped Caitlin off that morning at his home in Partlow, Virginia. James also had to work later that day, so the plan was that he would drop Caitlin off at 1 p.m. so that he could be back for his 3 p.m. shift. At 1:52 p.m., James and Lisa had a conversation via text message. He said, "I dropped Caitlin off." Lisa replied, "Okay, thank you. How was the traffic?" James said, "Not too bad." 8 minutes after that exchange, Lisa received a text from Caitlin which read, "I'm at the airport, battery dying, so won't be able to text for a bit." Caitlin's fiancé Amber got a message saying, "Something came up and I'm not coming back today. I'll let you know when I get a new flight." Hours later, at 7:15 p.m., Caitlin's mom got another text which read, "I'm staying with a friend. I need some time alone." These messages did not sound like Caitlin, nor did they follow her usual style of sending text messages. After receiving the odd text messages from Caitlin's phone, Lisa and her sister Pamela immediately tried to make contact with Caitlin at the airport by having her paged over the intercom system. When Lisa asked James where he had dropped Caitlin at, he said that she asked to be dropped off at the Springfield Mall. She wanted to kill some time before heading over to the airport. According to James, Caitlin said she would take the metro from the mall to the airport. Lisa thought this was odd because she had never heard of that mall, and she didn't think that Caitlin had ever been there. She also didn't think Caitlin had any experience riding the metro. Investigators later discovered that Caitlin's phone was never at the mall where James claimed to have dropped her off at, and it wasn't at the airport either. Lisa called the airline the night Caitlin disappeared, and they were able to confirm that Caitlin's ticket had not been used. Lisa spoke about the messages she received that afternoon.
"I was kind of upset. I was like, what do you mean? Is something wrong with her flight? I was like, that's the only flight she has. And trying to call her, and we got no response. Her phone went right to voicemail. I texted James, and I believe I texted him next, or called my sister next, Gabby, which is Caitlin's sister, and my sister Pam. Let them know, hey, something's going on with Caitlin. Let them know what was going on. Can you try to call her and see what's going on? Because I was working. I was retail management. So they helped try to call, and I got a hold of James again and asked him where he dropped her off. And he said that everything was fine, as far as I know. And we started to panic because there was no answer. Her phone went straight to voicemail. On December 5th, at 1:52 p.m., he just said, I dropped her off. And I said, okay, thank you. How was traffic? And he said, it wasn't bad. I said, that's good. How was work? Did you drop her? And I asked her, did you drop her off at the airport in D.C.? He said, I dropped her off at the Springfield Metro Station. She was going to take the metro to the airport and there's a stop at Reagan. And then I told him because she told Amber that she isn't coming home tonight, and there was a different text to Amber than she would normally text. Her texts were different and my texts were different. They were back-to-back texts, and she doesn't do that. Caitlin would never back-to-back text. The only time she would text you again right away if she misspelled a word. Her text message to me on that one said, phone dying. I made it to the airport and my phone's dying, won't be able to talk for a bit. And then she texted Amber, and then we got nothing. We got no text messages from her again until 7:15 that night. And then it was two back-to-back text messages then as well. Her text message to me was, I need time to be alone. I'm with a friend. And there were two different text messages. And it just doesn't seem right. It's never seemed right with me because she would never text like that. She would wait for hours for me to text back for her to say something else. Unless she misspelled a word. She would never do that. She did that to me, my sister, and Gabby, and Amber. She would never double text like that.
Around the same time that Lisa had gotten her last text messages from Caitlin, Amber got a message from Caitlin on Facebook telling her that she couldn't come back because she had cheated on her. Just like Lisa, Amber didn't think that Caitlin had written the message. When Caitlin's friend Kevin saw the messages, he was concerned too.
Writing is a lot like texting. Everybody has their own unique style and way of phrasing things. And like I saw Facebook messages from Caitlin, and if you look at those and compare them to the text messages her mom got from her, it's not the same person. Things aren't spelled the same way she spelled them. Things aren't like punctuated the same way, worded the same way. The way they are in the text messages that Lisa showed me is they're very like cold and like short, which was not her style. She loved to talk. My immediate reaction is something really messed up is going on here. I don't know who these messages are from, but they're not from Caitlin.
During her trip to Virginia, Caitlin had spent some time with her Aunt Pamela. Pamela didn't notice any behavior that seemed out of character for Caitlin. Pamela's never been a big fan of James, but she didn't think much of it when she heard he was driving Caitlin to the airport. The last time she spoke to Caitlin, she had mentioned how excited she was to start cosmetology school when she got home. So Pamela was shocked when Lisa contacted her about those bizarre text messages. They quickly jumped into action, posting on social media, seeing if anyone had seen or heard from Caitlin. But they didn't get a single lead. They also thought that James was being honest. They didn't have any reason to doubt him. So initially, they focused in on the shopping mall and the airport. What could have happened to Caitlin? Caitlin's friend Kevin told us about how he found out that she was missing.
Yeah, it was a really bizarre thing. I mean, I remember I was sitting at home, and I'd seen, I think, on Facebook, nobody had heard from her in a few hours, and I thought that was strange, so I started asking around. And sure enough, nobody had heard from her since before she was supposed to go to the airport. And then all this stuff started coming out about, like, her luggage and how initially they thought that she, how now they think that she never really left the county, and the stepfather giving me major heebie-jeebies.
We all know there are things in life that you have to compromise on, but when it comes to your health, there's no compromise. So don't settle for that one doctor that isn't really addressing your needs. Instead, check out ZocDoc, the place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable, and you can even search by location, availability, and insurance. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. Once you find the doc you want, you can book them immediately. You can filter specifically for ones who take your insurance, are located near you, and treat basically any condition you're searching for. The typical wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is between just 24 and 72 hours. That's it. I use this, and you should too. Go to ZocDoc.com/vanished and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/vanished. ZocDoc.com/vanished. This message is sponsored by Greenlight. When you're a parent, you'll have your fair share of big talks with your kids. One of those big talks should involve money, and Greenlight can help with that. Greenlight is a debit card and money app for families. You can send your kids instant money transfers, get real-time notifications of spending, manage chores, and automate allowance. I've been using Greenlight with my older two kids for years. One thing that I love about it is that I can set up recurring or one-time chores, customized to my family's needs, and then my kids earn an allowance to reward them for a job well done. Not only does it motivate them to actually get the chores done, but it also teaches them a bit about financial literacy and independence. They're learning to earn, save, and spend wisely. So stop putting off the money talk and start putting your kids on the right path. Sign up for Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/vanished. That's greenlight.com/vanished to try Greenlight for free. One more time, that's greenlight.com/vanished.
Pamela was concerned about the text messages from Caitlin, but she held out hope that this was all some kind of misunderstanding. She expected that someone would hear from Caitlin. But when that didn't happen, she quickly formed her own opinions about what may have happened.
And then the next day, when we had still had heard from her, Lisa James was the last one I saw. What's concerning to me is I never liked James, so I was like, Lisa, there's something wrong, and he was the last one to see her. My opinion is, he tried to make advances on Caitlin, and she turned him down. So once he did that, he had to do something so she wouldn't get in that trouble. That's exactly what I think happened.
Caitlin's family immediately started searching for her, feeling as though her disappearance wasn't voluntary. They didn't want to waste any time. They started a Facebook page to spread the word that something had happened and Caitlin was missing. In the search that commenced for Caitlin after her disappearance, only one person has failed to look for Caitlin or cooperate with the police. Lisa spoke about what happened right after Caitlin went missing.
We were all panicking. We put it on social media. I gave her phone number out to all my cousins and family and a lot of her friends. And some of the friends that didn't have her phone number because she had to get a new phone number. And we were all trying to call her and text her, and there was no response. My sister and Gabby had tried to call the police stations in Fairfax and D.C., and I tried to call Caroline County, where we were living at the time, and they said if she wanted to be missing, she could. She was 19 years old. On my way home from work that night, I worked like a 10 to 6, and on my way home, I called James, and I talked to him at like 6:48 p.m. He told me he was on break at work, which I come to find out later that was a lie. He never went to work. He was never on break.
James has told conflicting stories about many things and said things that were simply untrue. I think this detail is important. The whole reason that he had to drop Caitlin off at the airport so early was so that he could make it back in time for work. When Lisa called him on her way home from work, he said that he was on break at his job. Then they find out that he never went to work at all that day. Why did he lie about going to work? That's suspicious.
We weren't sure what was going on at all because he was given different stories of where he dropped her off, and it wasn't like her not to answer her phone like that. When we couldn't get the Fairfax County and D.C. and Caroline County to do anything to help us out with Caitlin, because they said that she can be missing if she wants. She's over the age of 18. So I was like, on Monday morning, on the 7th, I'm like, forget it. I said, I'm going up to Spotsylvania County where I seen her last. So that morning, me and Gabby and the baby, Gabby got the baby ready. We went up there somewhere in between 10 and 11 a.m. to report her missing there. So we got up there. We talked to Deputy Handy, let him know what was going on, and told him her name and everything else like that.
Initially, no one wanted to take a missing persons report on Caitlin. Then they had this jurisdictional issue because Lisa lives in one county. She dropped Caitlin off with James in another county. James claimed that he dropped her off at a mall over 60 miles away, and then you have the airport, which is about 11 to 12 miles away from the mall. The last place Lisa saw Caitlin alive was at James's house, and he lives in Spotsylvania County. The sheriff's office there was willing to file a missing persons report a couple days after Caitlin was last seen. This is what Lisa knows about their interactions with James.
The first time the police talked to him, I believe, was it had to have been after the 7th, probably like the 8th or the 9th. They went and talked to him about it because he was the last person to see her. And they said he was very vague. He drew this one picture of where the Springfield Mall was and said where he dropped her off at. And he said it was just a very vague picture. He was being cooperative at the time, and he said he was going to do a polygraph test. They said that he had no emotions with it, nothing at all. But he was being cooperative.
Shortly after Caitlin disappeared, another young woman was found murdered in Spotsylvania County. At first, everyone worried that the two cases could be connected, but law enforcement quickly determined that they weren't related.
And Heather Saccone, the girl that was murdered in her driveway in Spotsylvania County the day after Caitlin went missing, her mom had a different worry. Her mom had a fear of who was it? Was it family? Was it friends? Her family, they knew where her daughter was. They had a different fear. Yeah, she was murdered in somebody's driveway in Spotsylvania County the day after Caitlin went missing. They ruled out from the beginning that Caitlin and Heather Saccone's case was linked. It was all within 2 days. Caitlin went missing and Heather Saccone was murdered. Those people finally got arrested and was already tried and juried over the last couple months. They're serving their time now.
When Lisa and her other daughter, Gabby, had gone to report Caitlin missing, they were shocked to learn that the police had Caitlin's luggage. A work crew had found Caitlin's luggage on the side of a nearby highway, about 20 miles from where Caitlin was last seen at James's house. The bright blue suitcase was unzipped, scuffed, and missing a wheel, as though it had been thrown from a moving vehicle. Law enforcement retrieved the bag, but what they found inside was cause for concern.
It was probably in there for a good, in between half hour, 15, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, somewhere talking to him. And we went back out to the waiting room, and he went to their back area. I don't know exactly where he went to. Then he comes out with her luggage. And me and Gabby just looked at each other. We were really shocked to find that they have her luggage. They said a VDOT crew had found it. Which is, they do all the maintenance on our roads and stuff, a working crew that does all the roads and trees, trim trees and stuff. They found it on River Road in the ditch. Her luggage was blue, and it had wheels on it. her wallet was in her luggage with her ID, her bank card for my account, her bank card for Amber's account, the $10 of cash I gave her, and her toothbrush, her phone charger. And what was missing out of her her luggage was her cell phone, her clothes, and high school diploma. They have never been found.
Finding her suitcase was alarming to Caitlin's family. The fact that the bank cards and cash were still in there made them feel as though Caitlin had not been harmed because someone wanted money. The things that were missing from the luggage have made everyone wonder, why would someone take Caitlin's clothes, phone, and diploma? Pamela shared with us that she believes they were taken to keep as a trophy, something to remember her by. There's a river near the location where the suitcase had been recovered. Police searched the river and also conducted an aerial search, but they didn't uncover any more clues. Another strange aspect of Caitlin's case is that law enforcement requested ping data from Caitlin's cell phone. They wanted to determine if maybe she had left voluntarily. This is when they made a startling discovery. Her cell phone had never been anywhere near the mall or the airport she was supposed to fly out of. Caitlin's friend Kevin described the cell phone information in greater detail.
There were weird things going on with her cell phone and his cell phone as far as like the location pings. They pinged the location for the cell phones, both of them, and neither of them ever showed being near the airport. They showed being several miles from his home, like he was going to take her somewhere, but they never show her phone or his phone arriving at the airport. There's no evidence that she was ever at the mall where she was supposed to catch the metro to the airport. There's no evidence that she was ever even there. To me, it's like, maybe he dropped her somewhere, but I don't know. Because the fact that he's not speaking up for himself and explaining his side of things makes me more suspicious of him.
After James had initially cooperated with the investigation into Caitlin's disappearance and agreed to take a polygraph test, he decided not to take the exam and retained an attorney. After he declined to take the polygraph test, police obtained a search warrant for James's home and property. During the search, police took his vehicle, phone, computer, and many other items. But nearly 3 years later, they still haven't been able to access the data in his phone due to encryption on the device. They also didn't find any physical evidence indicating that Caitlin had been harmed in the home. Lisa told us about how James never asked the police for the majority of his belongings to be returned.
On December 31st of 2015, on New Year's Eve, they did a search warrant when he stopped cooperating and went to do the polygraph test. They went and got search warrants. And they took all of his vehicles. They took the sheet off his bed. They searched his land, a helicopter and stuff like that. And they confiscated all the guns and stuff that he had because he inherited it from his dad. It was like 5 or 6 pages, if not more, of stuff that they confiscated. They didn't find anything. He did get his vehicles back, but he hasn't gotten anything else back. Apparently, he asked one time for his computer and laptop back. And that's only because the police department was like, do you not even want your stuff back? And that's when he called and was wanting his stuff back. When they did do the search warrants, when they confiscated his laptop, his computer and all his phones that he had laying around the house, he did ask Detective Marshall if he could have the hard drive out of his computer. And they told him no. The police department and the FBI had tried to get into his phone. He's got a level of encryption in it they can't break. They've had several agencies trying to get into it, and they cannot break it. When the Android phones first came out, when they slid up and they had the keyboard, when they first came out, we got two phones, one for me and one for him. He put his own operating system on it when they first came out. So he knows how to do a lot of stuff like that. But I'm just curious of what's on that phone for him not to give up the password for. And they can't break it.
The fact that James won't hand over the password to his phone has left everyone feeling suspicious about what's on there that he doesn't want the police to see. Pamela is very suspicious about how James has acted since Caitlin disappeared.
Well, at first he was cooperating. I think he did a few, talked to him on the phone once or twice and maybe went up there. He's the one that never called Caitlin the day that she went missing, all those few days after she went missing. He never called. He never went back to the job that he had. He called in that day. He's done nothing. He never went to none of the searches. He's never done anything to help. He has his own encryption on the phone, and they've tried to break it, but they cannot break it. They cannot get into his phone. He refuses to give up the passcode to it. I think on the phone is where he was that day when he done with Caitlin, what he had said maybe to someone else that helped him, like his mom. We think his mom was involved. Because his mom is the only other person he's got. He doesn't really have any friends. He doesn't really feel sorrow. He doesn't feel anything like that. He's not that type of person.
I think Pamela makes some really good points here. If you drop someone off at the airport, especially someone you had helped raise since they were 7 years old, and then you learn that they never made it to their flight, and no one could find them, don't you think you would jump into action and at least attempt to call or text them? It's also strange that he called out of work that day and never returned to his job there. The whole reason he was taking her to the airport so early that day was so that he could get back in time for work. Caitlin's family aren't the only ones who feel like James may know more than he shared with the police over the years. Caitlin's friend Kevin gave us his thoughts on James.
I can't just come outright and say that he did something to her because, first of all, that's slander and I can't prove that. But he definitely knows if something did happen to her. He knows something that he's not telling. And I just find it suspicious that the police like searched his property and his vehicles and they couldn't find a shred of evidence that she'd been in either of those two places. And then there's the whole lock he has on his phone that he won't give the police access to. There's the fact that originally he said he'd take a lie detector test, but then recanted on that, saying to Caitlin's mom that it wouldn't help him anyway. It's just very suspicious.
Kevin also shared how Caitlin had expressed some specific feelings about James over the course of their friendship.
I know that she felt uncomfortable around him. She and I had not discussed it like too in depth because it was a subject that she really didn't like talking about, but the way she responded to people talking about him or her mom talking about him, she seemed like uncomfortable and kind of on edge when I was around her. I don't know that he would hurt her per se, but I also wouldn't discount it. I also wouldn't say he couldn't. Because I never met the man in person, but he was always described to me as being very like intelligent and calculating, but also having a bit of a temper. Caitlin's mom told me about several times where they got into really bad verbal arguments.
The Vanished is sponsored by BetterHelp. With social gatherings picking up after the winter, it can be easy to ignore your social battery and spread yourself thin. It's a good time to think about the right amount of socializing for you. Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you prefer more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. A therapist can help you learn how to set boundaries so you feel empowered to be the best version of yourself. Everyone can benefit from therapy. It's not just for those who've experienced major trauma. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, so it's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/vanished today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/vanished.
Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach, like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry. The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And I was thrilled to learn that Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices in premium fabrics and finishes. I love that. I now have several items from Quince. I love their cardigans, pants, and shirts. I find their pieces to be easy to mix and match, and also to dress up or dress down. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/vanished for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/vanished to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/vanished. In Caitlin's case, there are many possibilities, but her former stepfather, James, is the person that her family suspects the most. James was also the last person to see Caitlin and gave several different stories to police about the day she vanished. Lisa told us why she thinks James knows more than he's letting on about Caitlin's disappearance.
To me, I think he's got to have done something because he's never once tried to help us find her. He doesn't do anything for the avenge for Caitlin. He lied about everything. He lied about where he dropped her off from the get-go. He lied about going to work that day, and he's never tried to help. He's the only one that did not try to call Caitlin that day she went missing. To me, he had to have done something. He's never once tried to prove his innocence. He's never done any of that. If I was innocent, I would try to prove it. He's never done nothing. He's just sat in his house and hid like a coward.
James has given conflicting stories about where he dropped Caitlin off at. He said that he dropped her off at the JCPenney store at the Springfield Mall, and another time he said that he dropped her off at the metro stop near the mall. Detectives gathered surveillance videos from these places and the airport, but they never found any proof that Caitlin had been there on December 5th, 2015. Caitlin's aunt told us that she used to work with James, and that she had witnessed him fly into a fit of rage in the past. That's why she's never liked him, and one reason that she has her suspicions.
So to me, him, you know, having a big rage for a split second and then regretting what he did later is something that he would do.
While much of the focus has been on James all along, we can't completely ignore the other possibilities in this case. The night before Caitlin was due to return to Arizona, she spent the evening hanging out with some friends from high school. During the evening, she engaged in sexual activities with some of her friends. But Lisa doesn't believe that's a reason that Caitlin would have left.
She did tell Amber that she had cheated on her, that they all had a threesome together. That would not drive Caitlin away. I mean, Caitlin was a good girl. Things happened. She has cheated on people in the past. That would have never made her leave. That's just something that happened, but that would never... She would never be like, oh, that's so embarrassing, I'm going to leave. She would never do that.
Pamela told us that she doesn't think this had anything to do with Caitlin's disappearance either. She believes that this encounter was something that they all regretted after the fact. But she also told us that unlike James, these friends have been cooperative with the investigation. Caitlin had told her friend Kevin about what happened that night. Kevin could tell that she was upset by what had transpired. She felt like she had too much to drink that night and was taken advantage of. He was able to give us some insight about the people who were there at the party.
It was actually really interesting because they both went to high school with me and Caitlin, and I knew them pretty well. And it shocked me to hear that they did something like that. But at the same time, I could see it because they were both very secretive and kind of kept to themselves. Like, even though one of them claimed to be Caitlin's best friend, I didn't really know much about her, and she hated me. And they were like the odd couple. Their relationship was like, on the surface, from what everybody could see in public, was like that cute high school romance thing. I was always kind of like a little bit on edge.
As I mentioned earlier, Amber had received a message from Caitlin on the evening of her disappearance. The message stated that she had cheated and couldn't come back. But Amber didn't feel as though Caitlin had written this message. Between that message and the knowledge of the threesome has made some people wonder if maybe she did just walk away. She'd even messaged a friend saying, "I don't want to be here and I don't want to be there." If Caitlin walked away from her life, why isn't James being forthcoming? If he assisted her in some manner, he could just tell the police. It's not illegal for someone to start over. If the messages weren't written by Caitlin, was someone trying to make it look like she had left on her own? If that person was James, how did he know what happened at the party? Perhaps she had confided in him. We can't be certain. Kevin also shared something else that I found interesting. When they were in high school, Caitlin had dated an older guy who made some frightening threats to her. According to Kevin, they hadn't spoken in several years by the time Caitlin disappeared, but every possibility needs to be examined.
There was a bit of a scandal with her and a guy she dated from high school. Guy, real scumbag. I won't name him because that's not my place, but...
Back then, Caitlin shared a Facebook page with this guy. But after they got into a fight, he started threatening her.
And he threatened to upload scandalous photos of her onto that Facebook page. I don't remember whether or not he actually did it. I don't remember seeing them. But there was that threat there that really freaked her out. And I haven't seen him in years. The last time I saw him, he stole something from a friend of mine who was down visiting. I had to go track him down and get that back from him. So not a nice dude.
At the time Caitlin went missing, she had been in a long-term relationship and was engaged to be married. She even moved across the country to be with her fiancé, Amber. The two had become friends years earlier when Amber still lived in Virginia. After finishing school, Caitlin moved to Arizona to be with Amber. Caitlin's family explained to us that Amber has since moved on. Some people have given Amber a hard time, saying that she moved on too quickly. But Caitlin's family and law enforcement officers are certain that Amber was not involved in her disappearance. She was thousands of miles away in Arizona. Despite the fact that she's now seeing someone else, it's important to remember that Amber and Caitlin were still very young when she disappeared, and everyone grieves the loss of their loved ones differently. Caitlin's friend Kevin also agrees that Amber had nothing to do with her disappearance, but he did share some aspects of the relationship that he found to be odd.
I don't know Amber per se. I've met her several times, and the things I know about Amber are kind of mixed, because her and Caitlin were in a relationship before Caitlin came back up here, and I met her again, and that relationship did not end well. It was very miserable on both people's parts, and a lot of harsh things were said from what I've been told by Caitlin. And it was kind of bizarre, like, seeing them get back together. A lot of our friends were just kind of, like, happy for her and, like, didn't question it. They were just like, oh, well, you go, girl. You do that. I was a bit skeptical. I was like, well, I know you guys care about each other, but is that really, like, the wisest move? You don't know how that's going to turn out. Like, what if you guys get in a fight and you get stuck in Arizona or something like that? But I seem to be the only one that was a bit skeptical of it, but I'm naturally skeptical. So she seemed nice, but she also seemed like there was something else to her, something that I couldn't quite grab. I didn't know how to take it. Like, I didn't trust it. I was kind of wary of it. The times that I interacted with her, she was funny. She seemed to be pretty intelligent. Like, she didn't talk much. It was like she was playing things carefully. She seemed guarded. One of the things that Amber listed is that, like, after Caitlin disappeared, she found out some things about Caitlin that she didn't want to know, and because of that became bitter. To move on that fast from somebody you claim to be in love with when they haven't even been gone with so much of an amount of time, that doesn't make sense to me. I don't understand that. I mean, maybe she just is good at detaching, but I would not have been able to do that. Their relationship was weird because it's like, when it was good, it was great. But when it was bad, it was really bad. I think that relationship was like throwing gasoline on a fire. It was a very intense relationship, but it wasn't necessarily a good one or a sustainable one long term. But that's the downside about being the best friend, is sometimes your friend does not want to hear it.
Nearly 3 years have passed since the day Caitlin was supposed to fly back to Arizona. We heard about the mysterious cell phone that law enforcement can't get into, and the fact that none of Caitlin's DNA was found inside James's home, even though we know that she was there on the day she disappeared. We spoke to Spotsylvania Detective Sharon Williams to get her story on what the department and others are doing to find Caitlin, and how her former stepfather James has acted.
At this point, we're working with some other agencies to, follow some leads that we're hoping may be productive, but the stepfather is still not speaking, refused a polygraph, and now no longer speaks to the family, where after this initially occurred, he was cooperative with us at first to a point, and then when we offered him a polygraph, he stopped being cooperative. He stayed in contact with Caitlin's family for up to a year, and he no longer speaks to them either. So there's really no new developments other than stepdad's cut off, any contact with the family, where at first he was friendly. So I'd rather not speak about the agency that we're working with, but as you can imagine, they're law enforcement, friendly. So we are trying to work on some other stuff related to the case. I mean, hopeful that it might give us a little bit of insight, but as far as new tips or new leads, no.
We also asked Detective Williams about her take on the fact that Caitlin's stepfather, James, has never asked for any of his seized property to be returned. This is what she had to say.
The only time he actually did express interest to Detective Marshall was after Detective Marshall was speaking with his mother. And he made the comment of, you know, we're just trying to get your son, you know, cleared, trying to get him, you know, off the hook so and check that box. He hasn't even asked us for his stuff back. The next day, he called Detective Marshall and said, hey, can I get my stuff back? So that's been his only one time he asked. And we're like, no, it's an ongoing investigation. So I know that the reporter left him a message 2 weeks ago on his phone at his job, and he just asking for a comment. And again, no response from him. He's just gone into like turtle mode and, you know, just pretending that this isn't happening. They've had several gatherings like near his house to commemorate different anniversaries of her disappearance. And, you know, no involvement, no nothing, no comments. And the mother even within the last year posted like a pleading letter on his door. Please, you know, cooperate. And again, no response. It's really, really doesn't look good on his behalf. So, you know, we're not giving up. We're going to keep getting the information out there and work on any leads that we can. And like I said, we're working on some things now that I don't want to put out there, but we're hopeful might give us a little insight into her last days.
Detective Williams is hopeful that someone out there could hold the key piece of information that could help them solve this case.
We would welcome any and all information, even if they feel it's just something odd, something tiny they remember. It might just be that one piece of information that we need to put this together. You know, we will welcome all information.
I also wanted to know how Caitlin's family felt about how law enforcement has handled her case. This is what Lisa had to say.
For the most part, it's pretty good. They're letting me know. I talk to them about once a week, because it's too depressing to call them every day to let us know they don't have anything. So we talk about once a week. They're trying to get other agencies involved. Some agencies are involved. It's just a long process, apparently. One thing that is hindering the investigation, they said, is James's phone. They say they're trying to do what they can.
Lisa also spoke about her family's struggle to move on without Caitlin. Caitlin was in constant communication with her mother, sister, and aunt, and she was so excited for Gabby to have her baby. Lisa knows that Caitlin wouldn't just disappear with so much to look forward to.
It's all we talk about. When I'm with my friends, when me and my sister and my brother are together, and my other daughter, Gabby, that's all we talk about is Caitlin. And Gabby and Caitlin's birthday was on September 1st and September 2nd, and it's doubly hard for Gabby because they got really close when Caitlin moved and she got pregnant. And their birthdays are only a day apart from each other. Caitlin was born September 2nd of 96 and Gabby was born September 1st of 99. They were 3 years apart by one day.
We know that James was the primary father figure for Caitlin and her sister Gabby. Pamela told us that Caitlin's biological father had been out of the picture since Caitlin was a toddler. He lives in another state and Caitlin had tried to connect with him on Facebook as she got older. But it didn't really go anywhere. Pamela said that he shares things on social media, but he hasn't been very active in the search for her. She also shared the role that James played in the lives of Caitlin and Gabby, which makes it all more perplexing that he would have a reason to harm her.
He did a lot for the girls. He went to school recitals after they had split up and did the whole Christmases and all Thanksgivings and stuff like that all together still. He was still active in their life.
Lisa has struggled to reconcile all of this. She was married to James and knew that he had a temper, but she never thought that he was capable of harming one of her daughters.
He's very quick to anger, and that's one of the reasons why I left, but he never harmed me. And towards the end, he picked up an empty cardboard box, a small box, and threw it at Caitlin one time because he was mad. But I would never thought he would do anything like this. When I was leaving, we only seen him. He worked and he went to school full time. We only seen him for like an hour or two a week. And those hour or two a week that we seen him was rough because he was always mad. He was always yelling at us. After I left him and I moved, things calmed down. He was still in Caitlin and Gabby's life. He was still there for the birthdays. He was still there for Christmases. If I needed help paying the bill, needed groceries, whatever, he helped. He was always there. Even though I left him and we were not together, he was still there to help with the girl. Everything seemed fine. He didn't seem like he was in that rut he was before. He didn't seem as angry.
In all of this, Caitlin's sister Gabby has not only lost her sister, but also the man who was her father figure for most of her life. Pamela spoke about what Gabby's relationship with James has been like since Caitlin vanished.
Gabby does not want anything to do with James anymore. See, Gabby's very strong-willed too, and Gabby doesn't really get scared. Gabby gets angry. So Gabby's the type of person who wants to knock on his door and be like, where is my sister? That's what she wants to do. And we won't let her.
So what happened to Caitlin Akins on December 5th, 2015? Did she choose to abandon all that she had ahead of her, or did something more sinister happen? Who tossed her luggage and sent those text messages from her phone? Why would Caitlin leave behind her identification, glasses, and cash? Why did her former stepfather James agree to cooperate with the police and then change his mind? Many people suspect that he's responsible for her disappearance, but what was his motive? And what's hidden on his phone that no one can get into? I think it's hard for most people to consider anyone else besides James because he was the last one to see her. And he clearly isn't being honest about dropping her off at the mall or the metro station. Even the phone ping information refutes his story. What does James have to hide? If someone else harmed Caitlin, how did she get from being with James to being with someone else? His story just stinks. If James isn't involved in Caitlin's disappearance, he needs to tell investigators what really happened so they can clear him and move on. Most people seem to believe that James holds the key information that will solve this case. But there could be someone else out there who may have seen or heard something. They may not even know it's important. If you have any information about the disappearance of Caitlin Akins, please call the Spotsylvania County Sheriff's Office at 540-507-7102 or the FBI's VICAP division at 1-800-634-4097. You can follow Caitlin's case on Facebook at Help Find Caitlin Akins. Caitlin Akins was 19 years old at the time of her disappearence. She was described as 5'4" tall and had blonde hair and blue eyes. She had a tattoo on her arm of 5 butterflies and a tattoo on her foot with 3 stars. She had piercings in her ears, lips, nose, and belly button.
I have run literally hundreds of scenarios through my head about like what could have happened to her. And none of them have him being innocent in that scenario. If you had asked me a few days after she disappeared, I would have said she could still be alive. But the sad truth of it is, as much as I don't want it to be true, she's most likely dead. Like, the odds are not in her favor. Given the things that were going on in her life at the time and the place she was mentally and emotionally, aside from the incident that happened, she was excited. She was going to school. She had just met her nephew. She was doing pretty well other than that one incident. And I can't see her running off and not telling anybody or contacting anybody for years. That's not who she was. She didn't shut people down like that. I'm hopeful because I'm of the firm belief that the truth will always come to light. No matter how far you try to bury it down, the truth always comes out.
That brings us to the end of episode 148. I'd like to thank Lisa, Pamela, Kevin, and Detective Williams for speaking with us. If you have a missing loved one that you'd like to have featured on the show, there's a case submission form at thevanishedpodcast.com. If you'd like to contact me, there's a page and a discussion group on Facebook. I'm on Twitter at thevanishedpod and also on Instagram. If you enjoy this show, subscribe now and leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Wondery.com, or wherever you're listening right now. Do you want to help support the show? There's a couple things that you can do. One way to help The Vanished is by supporting our sponsors. You can find links and promo codes in the episode notes. Another way to support the show is by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey. Join me next time. I'll be covering a case from Ohio. Thanks for listening.
Murder on My Mind, a new podcast available exclusively on Wondery Plus, explores the circumstances leading up to the murder of two young men and the mistrials of the man accused of killing them. Up-and-coming rapper YNW Melly gained notoriety in the hip-hop world for his shocking lyrics and criminal exploits. When two of his best friends were gunned down in a drive-by shooting, investigators suspected the young rapper staged the scene. But after not one, but two trials that ended in hung juries and new evidence that may place YNW Melly at the scene of the crime, his trial has been paused indefinitely. With countless twists and turns, Law and Crime covers all angles of the case and begs the question, is this young artist the victim of a witch hunt or a silver-tongued devil who's evil to the core? Listen to Murder on My Mind exclusively and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
Welcome to the small town of Chinook, where faith runs deep and secrets run deeper. In this new thriller, available exclusively on Wondery Plus, religion and crime collide when a gruesome murder rocks the isolated Montana community. Everyone is quick to point their fingers at a drug-addicted teenager, but local deputy Ruth Vogel isn't convinced. She suspects connections to a powerful religious group. Enter Federal Agent V.B. Loro, who has been investigating a local church for possible criminal activity. The pair form an unlikely partnership to catch the killer, unearthing secrets that leave Ruth torn between her duty to the law, her religious convictions, and her very own family. But something more sinister than murder is afoot, and someone is watching Ruth. With an all-star cast led by Emmy nominee Sanaa Lathan and Star Wars Kelly Marie Tran, Chinook is available exclusively and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.